Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we have a special interview with author Tex Mars, also the founder of the powerofprophecy.com, and author of about 40 books. Tex is a controversial author, and his latest book is called Conspiracy World, and it was quite an eyeful. It was fun to read and fun to talk about with him.
Chock full of a lot of information. Some you might agree with, some you might not, but you ought to get the book. It's a good read, and it explains a lot about secrets that have been kept from you and kept from the public and the American people. And see what you think about it and do some investigating yourself. It's a good interview. He's easy to talk to and chock full of information. So I think you'll find it interesting.
I think so. And let's see. There's one here I just thought might be interesting.
We have some news to bring to you, though.
Yeah. This is one by Stephen Watson on InfoWars. Breaking the Will of the People.
The real purpose of body scammers. The clamor to ramp up airport security with invasive naked body imaging scanners has nothing to do with ensuring the safety of travelers. Rather, it's a part of an ongoing incremental push to break the will of the people, encourage mass subservience and meek obedience. Perhaps the most alarming aspect of the body scammer push is that people are willingly accepting it. As Bloomberg News reports today, passengers' acceptance of airport body scanners has increased following the failed terror attack, with 92% of passengers at Manchester Airport in northern England now agreeing to pass through the machines in a voluntary trial, compared with 75% before the accident. The same report indicates that around 90% of Muslims and Orthodox Jews were opting to use the scanners even prior to the Detroit incident, rather than risking physical contact via pat-downs and strip searches. Travelers in Canada have indicated acceptance of the scanners, saying they would do anything for safety, describing them as a necessary evil. Meanwhile, nearly two-thirds of Germans favor airports using full-body scanners, despite claims that they are an invasion of personal privacy. The will of the people is being systematically eroded and incrementally broken down. Airports are serving as reservations where the fundamental right to privacy must be left at the door. Travelers have been acclimatized over time to know they must remove their shoes, take off their belts, untuck their shirts, discard water, baby milk, shampoo, and toothpaste. During the flight, hands must be visible on the lap, and even bathroom visits can now become national incidents, as we have recently seen. A culture of extreme fear has been engendered when the only way to stay safe is to cozy up to Big Brother, a psychological response akin to that of the Stockholm Syndrome. This is where the technological control grid plays such a key role. Imagine if TSA agents were made to take women and children and physically stretch search them while they held their hands aloft. The public would balk at such abuse. However, with body scanning machines, there is a divide that clouds the process in futuristic technology. And they have some pictures here.
First spot. Let's see. If, TSA agent. Here's a. Is that a TSA agent?
A TSA agent. Oh, they have two images. TSA in the top inspects a naked image of a woman in full public view. Bottom.
Oh, I see.
A Nazi officer inspects the private parts of a woman while forcing her husband and children to watch.
That was on there. Noting that in many of the images from the body scanners used by the media, people are shown to be concealing a gun or a knife with their hands held in the air above their heads. This puts out the subconscious notion that everyone passing through the machines is guilty and has been caught by the authorities engaged in a law-breaking act. We are also being incrementally taught that what goes on in the airports will be transferred to the streets, schools, shopping malls, rail stations, and bus terminals. The very body scanners we see being implemented within airports now have already been extensively trialed in railway stations in major cities. The same technology is being considered by governments for general use in cameras on the streets. And once, can you imagine putting that stuff in the cameras on the streets?
Jeez.
Okay, once accepted as part of everyday life in airports, it becomes much easier to sell for use in all public places. And that's x-rays, right? X-ray specs were once considered a pervert's fantasy science fiction invention. Now they have become a reality. With such technology at their disposal, the already TV TSA Viper teams will not doubt patrol mass transit facilities with much more vigor. All of this is being rolled out despite numerous issues that raise questions aside from the assault on privacy. The scanners are similar to C scans and carry health risks. They fire ionizing radiation at those inside, which penetrates a few centimeters into the flesh and reflects off the skin to form a naked body image. And results show,
research show,
that even very low doses of X-ray can delay or prevent cellular repair of damaged DNA. Yet pregnant women and children will be subjected to the process if new guidelines, including scanners, are adopted.
Oh, that's not right.
No, and the machines also break child pornography laws, and that the U.K., that bar the production of indecent images of children.
I don't think children should be put
through
that.
No, and no matter what the Amsterdam airport, no matter that the Amsterdam airport where the so-called underwear bomber boarded already had the scanners installed, the solution is more scanners. Yeah, they already had this thing and it missed it. Okay, no matter that designers of the technology have admitted that the machine would not have detected explosive materials hidden within clothing, the solution is more scanners. Amazing, isn't it? All these issues have led even mainstream sources to question the validity of the freedom-crushing initiatives being rolled out en masse. And meanwhile, we continue to be bombarded with fear-mongering rhetoric. Unless we give up all our liberties and submit to gross invasion of privacy, airliners will start to fall from the sky. And those pushing the technology aren't always, as always, set to make huge profits. And these leading defense contractors, in conjunction, those who have made their names from the terror business, such as former Homeland Security head Michael Chertoff, are lining their pockets with taxpayer money, literally stemming from the so-called economic stimulus.
And he's from Waterbury,
yeah.
Where all the other three corrupt people
freaking
were from.
Crook, I mean.
If the public willingly accepts naked imaging X-ray machines in the name of security, what comes next? The former EU Justice Commissioner says that scanning inside people's bodies is an acceptable proposal. Microsoft has suggested slapping monitoring bracelets on all its employees. The TSA is considering taser bracelets that can deliver electric shocks to anyone who steps out of line inside an airport or an airplane. Gee.
Passport control officers at airports are to be phased out as new biometric face scanning cameras are set to replace them under UK order control measures that came into force last year. A global metric facial scan database is the end goal of security authorities the world over. Other proposals include
placing the cameras in every seat on the aircraft and installing software to try and automatically detect terrorists or other dangers caused by passengers.
Passive brain scanners that pick up brain waves in order to sense the behavior of travelers have already been trialed in airports. The technology known as Melintent has been developed by the Department of Homeland Security under a project lovingly called Project Hostile Intent. And the following image is a DSH impression of the mid-reader technology.
The development of all this nightmare technology only emphasizes the need for immediate outright rejection of the mass implementation of body screeners if we continue to allow such gross attacks on our liberties to succeed. The onslaught will never end.
They got a picture here of somebody being brain scanned. Okay. See that green? There's a
green
light that goes on the guy's head, and then I don't know what. Oh, there it is being body scanned, I guess.
Yeah.
And this one is being body scanned too. But you know, it's like a terrible invasion and radioactivity going against you.
Needless.
Needless. Absolutely stupid. You know. Mass
resistance. That's what that's short for.
Well, you're Alex won. It's 10 minutes though.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Alex is all for resistance anyway. So are we, and absolutely, so are we. You have to resist this mess.
You can't be having body scanners and
it's
at your own peril because it's going to cause cancer.
Of course.
Your body can't handle all that.
They know that. I mean, the more they scan you, the better they are.
What about pilots? Who go in and out of pilot?
I know.
What's
going
in the stewardesses?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
They wouldn't last in that job.
No. Coldest weather in over 2 decades. Al Gore explained this. Obama's White House press corps warned about asking certain questions. Atomic rivers. She was pulled over. Farming safe Detroit. Let's see this. I'll read that.
Which one?
29% of Americans say religion out of date.
A Gallup poll of
by
Muriel Cain. A Gallup poll of American attitudes towards religions released on Christmas Eve found significant recent increases in those responding either that they have no religious preference, that religion is not very important in their lives, or that they believe religion is largely old-fashioned or out of date. Only 78% of Americans now identify as Christian, while 22% describe their religious preference as either other or none. Most of these changes have occurred since 2000 and represent the first significant shift since a sharp decline in religious adherence during the 1970s. Over the last 9 years, the number with no religious preference has grown from a level of around 8% to 13%. The number for whom religion is very important has climbed from just over, not very important, excuse me, has climbed from just over 10% to 19%. And the number who believe religion is out of date has no answers for today's problems has jumped from slightly more than 20% to 29%.
Yeah, there's more to this if you want to see if there's...
Welcome up here. These changes do not have appeared to affect the majority of Americans who still consider religion very important. The biggest difference is in the late 1990s, up to 68% of Americans thought religion had answers to the world's problems, even though only about 60% said religion was personally very important to them. It seems as though over the last 10 years, a significant number may have gone from believing that religion is a positive factor in the world, even if they're not particularly religious themselves, to seeing religion in a far more skeptical or even negative light.
Well, that's kind of interesting. But anyway, I have a tendency to agree with that, but I have a question. I think people are substituting it for something else. I don't think it's what I can say. I think
substituting
people are,
something else for religion.
Yeah, I really think people are far more. What's the word? I think they're more.
They seem passive.
They're passive, but I think they're more universal than they are just agnostic, you know. I think they believe in a God, and I think they believe in creation, and I think they believe in a great many things, but they don't believe in those dogmatic religions.
Classic religions that you think of.
I think there's a huge breakdown there,
you have to admit that Catholicism in the United States got a black eye from which they've never recovered, and that's the scandal on pedophilia.
Yeah. Right.
And it just goes on and on
and
on.
It's all over the place, and they're not doing anything about it anymore. They're just out of the news. So it's, but it still goes on. And how many are uncovered and how many were unreported?
Who knows?
If you have 10,000 of them, where I'm sure there were 100,000.
Yeah.
You know, or more.
Oh, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. We're living in shame or died or committed suicide.
Oh,
or,
terrible,
you know,
things happen to
or
people.
Or don't even know that it happened to them anymore. They just regressed and, yeah. So.
Or they've blocked it out.
Yeah, they wanted to.
And
so,
you can't blame them for that.
No. No, you can't do that.
And not everybody feels comfortable coming forward with those things. I mean, they don't want the publicity. They privately want to deal with it or not deal with it.
Those that had their chance.
Abuse of power.
Yeah, I mean, those that had their chance to get some money out of it, some reparations, that was good.
And they deserved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. This is, I thought, was interesting. You want to read that?
No, Viva Palestinian arrives in Egypt to enter Gaza. Viva Palestinian humanitarian aid convoy has arrived in the Egyptian port city of El Arish to pass through the Rafah border crossing into the Gaza Strip. A Turkish ship, which carries the convoy from Syria's port of Latakia to Egypt, moved in El Arish on Sunday evening. Gamal Abdel Maksoud, head of the El Arish port, reported. The ship carrying the 250-vehicle convoy will be unloaded at the port and be transferred to the Gaza Strip and Rafah crossing, according to the Egyptian official in the MENA news agency. According to the report, 528 activists from 17 countries who are on board the convoy will also travel to Gaza. Five Turkish lawmakers will join the UK-based convoy on Monday. They are expected to enter Gaza on Tuesday evening and will stay for 24 hours to deliver all humanitarian aids to the Gazan authorities. The convoy, which departed from London on December 6th, was scheduled to deliver medical, humanitarian, and educational aid to the Gazans on December 27th. It was, however, forced to return to Syria from the Jordanian port city of Aqaba after Cairo refused to allow it to go through the Red Sea port of Nuweiba, the most direct route. Cairo insisted that the convoy can only enter through the Mediterranean port city of El Arish.
Yeah, I got one more, and then we're going to go to our interview. I thought this was interesting, too. This is from blacklistednews.com, and it's called Israel to Issue Gas Masks to Population.
Oh, I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. Israel, BioPrepWatch, Israel will begin distributing its entire population with gas masks in 2 months. This was published on the 2nd of January, and 2 months.
In March.
Yeah, though no reason has officially been given by the Israeli government. No indication or threat has been made against Israel from any country that an attack is planned. No country in the Middle East is believed to be likely to engage in chemical or biological warfare with Israel either. The gas mask distribution has, however, raised questions as to an Israeli potential plans to launch an attack on Iran's nuclear facility. Such an attack could cause an unconventional response from Iran, and Iran's chemicals and biological weapons capability are currently not known. And I'm very curious to find out if the Palestinians got those masks. It doesn't
probably
say.
Probably not.
Okay. And you got to wonder if they're planning a gas raid on their own people. The only country in Israel, a region currently believed to have access to major chemical or biological weapons program, is Israel itself, though the country unlikely to utilize them in an attack. Despite the lack of a viable threat, Israel will begin issuing the gas mask to each of its residents in February. The Israeli Defense Forces will manage the distribution. The IDF have engaged the Israeli Postal Company to aid in the distribution, a departure from the use of Home Front Command for previous distributions. And in addition to the gas mask, children 8 years and younger will receive for the first time the Mantec gas mask. We are the only country in the world that produces gas masks for children, and the children's gas mask we produce is the only one in the world that supplies prime defense for this age group, says the head of the Gas Mask Administration of the Home Front Command, told Barcelona News. All that is left is to hope that it will not be necessary to expect firsthand how well these masks work, he said. So Israel is sending out gas masks to all of its people, all right, in the next couple months, in February. All right, so either they're the only ones in the entire Mideast who have access to chemical weapons. So it's kind of interesting to see what may happen there, huh?
Yeah.
Looks like they're planning to kill their own people. So, anyway.
Or another false flag attack.
Or a false flag attack for some reason, but they're preparing their Israelis for it. So, but anyway, we have an interesting interview with Tex Mars, and he's going to be on right now, and we'll be back right after. It's about a half an hour. And I hope you enjoyed. It starts in a little right at the beginning here of the interview.
Their wealth, because of their political power.
Yeah, actually, the question posed to Tex, this is the first one for somebody that got cut off the first 30 seconds or so. But Lila asked Tex what the Illuminati was, and to try to explain to our audience who aren't familiar with this term, what they are. And Tex does a good job at it, and the interview continues.
Especially their financial might to control the world, to bring about a new world order, and they've been working this for a long, long time. They are occultists. They do not think like we do. In one sense, they're almost another species.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that not from a racial standpoint necessarily, but race is somehow involved. But interestingly enough, when you really get down to it, all of them are tied to an ancient or a series of ancient mystery religions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably the secret society that ties them all together is the Masonic Lodge. And interestingly, though, of course, in the United States alone, there are some 3 million Freemasons, and I would say 2,990,000 of them don't know what I'm talking about. So when I say Freemasonry, I mean that the theological and mindset of these individuals is bound up in Freemasonry, which at its roots is a ancient mystery religion that has combined elements of all kinds of other religions. But I believe right now they have hijacked, you might say, Judaism, and Zionism seems to be the core of the Illuminati, the Illumined Ones, the elite. And so we have some very rich men, such as the Rothschilds, the Bronfmans, and others, who are Jewish, and you would think that they believed in the Old Testament and would be very close to, the books of the Bible, but they're not at all. In fact, I believe they go back to what is called a Sabbatean religion. In other words, the commandments of men that Jesus talked about. And I believe they would even oppose the true God. So, and again, we go back to the ancient mystery religions.
So are these men primarily all very wealthy bankers and financiers?
Absolutely. I think the key family, they operate in dynasties.
Mm-hmm.
And the chief of the dynasties right now is the Rothschild clan. And we have no idea of the untold wealth of such people as Lord Jacob Rothschild over in Great Britain, his son Nathaniel. There's an Evelyn Rothschild, a James Rothschild. But they are the richest people in the world. And through Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and some other multinational banks, I believe they control America today. And there's no doubt that Barack Obama works for these people. He is a stooge. And I say that not from a Republican or Democratic Party standpoint, because George W. Bush also was controlled by the same faction and had to do whatever they said. I have a video out called Rothschild's Choice that explains very carefully in documents that Barack Obama was the choice of Lord Rothschild, and he was mentored, he was raised, and sponsored, and he now is fulfilling their will. And their will right now is to destroy American sovereignty and bring about, and this is going to be a big word maybe for some of your audience, a Hegelian synthesis of communism and capitalism. Both communism and capitalism are to be jettisoned and discarded, and they're now setting up a system that I call Zio-Mammonism.
Okay.
And it will be control of Zionists at the highest levels of world government.
They will worship Mammon.
Yeah.
Well, they will actually worship Mammon. Yeah. Remember Jesus in the Bible told the Jews, he didn't say you must choose between God and the devil, because he knew their hearts. He said you must choose between God and Mammon. Mammon, of course, is money. You're right, Leo, it's money.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the ancient Babylonians worshipped a god of prosperity they call Mammo or Marmo.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the god of prosperity, the god of money. And so this is who they really worship. They don't worship, Daniel says they would not worship the god of their fathers, meaning Jehovah God, but would instead worship a god of forces to whom they would heap great treasures, money. So it's throughout the Bible, and the Bible finally warns us in the book of Revelation about the synagogue of Satan. Now, we can say what we want to about the Muslims and terrorism and all that, but the Bible says flat out, it is the synagogue of Satan, but it also says them which say they are Jews, but are not, and are the synagogue of Satan.
Hmm.
So they're really false Jews, in effect.
Yes, that's a religion that has been hijacked. I agree with you totally, and those poor people have been so abused.
The average Jewish person or Israeli, I mean, they're not aware of these things.
No.
But I'm afraid they are going to be flattered and deceived into believing they are a superior race, they're God's chosen. In that sense, sort of like the Nazis did the German people, they may be sucked into supporting the conspiracy.
Why do you think an American would want to destroy his own country and the sovereignty of his own country? Why would Americans...
Well, Lana, you and Leo are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this American culture built into you. You're patriotic. You care about this country. These men, from Rockefeller to the Rothschilds and on, they don't think like we do about country. They've never had a country. They don't have a nationality. Remember back in the war of, after the Declaration of Independence, they had a man without a country.
Yep.
He had to live on a ship, and they wouldn't let him come to the land because he had been a traitor to America, they claimed. Well, these are men without a country. And even Obama, has made speeches in the Middle East and in Europe. I remember the very famous speech where he basically said he's a man of the world.
Yeah, right.
Citizen of the world,
and
right.
People have even called him president of the world.
Hmm.
So in Copenhagen, his plan is to put forth a new world order. The gentleman from the British House of Lords, Lord Monckton, said very clearly all the nonsense and hoax of global warming is just like all of the other things that we're involved in now, and I believe in even much of terrorism and Al-Qaeda are hoaxes, all designed to drive us into a new world order, not controlled by the United Nations, because it's just an administrative bureau.
Right.
But they are using the United Nations as a skeleton which they can put the meat on and finally develop a world government. And that means, of course, the end of American sovereignty.
Yeah.
It's a frightening thing. And what you bring up, I was very curious about Obama's connections here, and you seem to have gotten a very good, not genealogy, but a good, you seem to have traced this back quite well, but I want to talk about his involvement with Masonry, because he is I just heard recently that he was a 33rd degree Mason. Is that true?
I understand, and again, I'm going to have to admit that I have not confirmed it.
Right.
But the sources that I talked to say he's a 32nd.
But
when they get to 32nd or 33rd degree, you know, we're talking about at the very top.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting thing. In my video, I don't think I discuss this in my new book, Conspiracy World, but I actually absolute prove that all of the black civil rights leaders always have been high-level Freemasons.
Wow.
You cannot. Al Sharpton is a 33rd degree. Louis Farrakhan, 33rd degree. Jesse Jackson, 33rd degree. They're all part of what is called the Prince Hall Lodge, which is an exclusively black lodge. Until really our generation, the Masons were split into the whites and the blacks. There's a little bit of cross feed now, not very much, only a token. Remember, one of the most famous of all Masons was a man named Albert Pike.
Yeah.
Who was a Confederate Civil War general. And so, you know, here we have, you know, a man fighting for the South, a general. He was the Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry. He redesigned the 33-degree ritual ceremonies and wrote a classic book called Morals and Dogma of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Now, here's the power of Freemasonry. You would think a Civil War Confederate general, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he was indicted for war crimes by the Lincoln administration. He fled to Canada and only returned to the United States when he was pardoned by the new president, Andrew Johnson, who, like Pike, was a 33rd degree Mason. So here's a Civil War general convicted of war crimes. He allowed Indians under his command to scalp Yankee soldiers. But he did many other acts of cruelty and such, too. But he was pardoned by Andrew Johnson, and thus the reason why Andrew Johnson was impeached, was the first president to be impeached, although by one vote he beat the rap, you might say. So that's the reason for history there. Now, Albert Pike, even though he was a Confederate general, his statue stands in Washington, D.C. today. And not only that, and one of the most expensive pieces of real estate. Visit the U.S. Justice Department, where Mr. Eric Holder, our Attorney General, goes to work every day. And right in the front of it, where he gets out of his limo, is a statue of a Confederate War General, Albert Pike.
Oh, man.
Really?
Now, why is it that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and yes, Barack Obama, don't demand that statue be taken down? A Confederate War General indicted for crimes against humanity.
I don't know.
Lincoln, and his statue's in front of the Justice Department. And by the way, he was one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. And not only that, he was the first, what do they call those things, solicitor generals of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, wow.
In my book, Mysterious Monuments...
Mm-hmm.
Do they know this? I mean, they
must be aware of it.
Absolutely. Because every Mason, when he becomes a Master Mason, which is a third degree, he is given a copy as a gift of Pike's book.
Oh, man.
Even to this day, Pike is honored as one of the greatest Freemasons of all time.
Wow. But even the black lodges, or the black lodge, honors this individual?
They don't necessarily honor him, but they would have
by buying
to
his book, by following his
on
book.
On him. Of course, in Washington, D.C., is a building called the House of the Temple. It's exactly 13 blocks from the White House, a very ornate, imposing building. It's like a Greek temple. Actually, it's built on the order of, amazingly as it may sound, John Pope, the architect, designed it following the exact plans for the Halicarnassus, which is the tomb of the ancient king of Greece. His name was King Mausos. That's where we get the name or term mausoleum.
Oh, okay.
So it was after the tomb or the mausoleum of King Mausos of Greece. Now, it's in ruins over in the Grecian Turkey area today. But it's interesting that they recreated the building. Imagine a mausoleum, and it now is the international headquarters of the largest Masonic organization in the world. And in that building is the tomb of Albert Pike.
Oh, my.
Now, I just want to say that in Chicago, Illinois,
is
one of the centers of a 33rd degree Freemasonry for blacks. And Louis Farrakhan has many times mentioned that he is a Mason, a Freemason, and that he is believed to be very powerful in that respect. And, of course, Farrakhan, even though he's a black Muslim, said that he believed that Obama is the Christ.
Whoa.
So that's sort of an interesting thing. And, of course, Farrakhan was a guest over at Dr. Jeremiah Wright's church.
Right.
Where Obama was a member. And I think he got an award, a humanitarian award there. So they all work together. They're all Freemasons.
Well, I think what, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the what scared me about Obama receiving the Nobel Peace Prize was the prophecy of the revelation of the Antichrist being heralded around the world as a man of peace.
That is interesting.
That kind of sent the shiver up my spine, actually.
Especially since he used the words of Martin Luther King, who was talking about peace to defend war.
Yeah, to try to defend Afghanistan and Iraq, and further assert a further surge in Afghanistan. It was just it was just a complete and utter bold-faced, hypocritical speech, by Obama. That was
amazing piece of double-mindedness.
Oh, that's for sure.
I mean, here the guy, the same week that he gets Nobel Peace Prize, he sends 30,000 more troops to
Exactly. I mean, and says that the United States is going to underwrite the security of the entire world.
For the world's police.
What the hell is this? Since when? What does it say that in our Constitution? We're gonna underwrite the world's defense.
Well, we do that, and it's interesting. It's neither Democrat nor Republican. The liberal Democrats, of course, despise George W. Bush, but they loved his war policies.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's because of the Zionist faction that wants war in the Middle East. Now, Albert Pike actually wrote and said that the last World War would be. He said there will be a series of three world wars. Remember, this was written back in 1870.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the last one, World War III, will be in the Middle East. And it will be a contest, a horrible contest, between Muslims and Christianity, and will end in the destruction of both of them. So they're looking for both Christianity and Islam to be destroyed, and then the Antichrist will come to power in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And this is the plan, actually, of the Illuminati.
Well, Islam and Christianity worship the same God. The Jews also were all descendants. Those religions are descended from Abraham. So they all have something in common. No wonder they want to destroy them all.
Well, yes, and of course, Judaism itself, there's some little problems there because unlike Islam,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a Christian, by the way, so I'm no fan of Islam,
mm-hmm.
but Islam does at least honor Jesus as a great prophet and so forth. They just don't believe that he was the Son of God or that he was resurrected. But they do honor him. They honor his mother, where in the Jewish holy book, now, that's in the Quran.
Right.
But in the Jewish holy book, their holy law, which is the Talmud, it says that Jesus is a blasphemer and is a bastard, that his mother was a whore, and it also says that Jesus is now burning in a hot boiling vat of excrement for eternity.
Mm. Well, it also...
sins.
It also says
to be God. That's what the Jews teach in their high holy book.
Well, also it states something about it's okay to molest 9-year-old girls and under, or something to that effect.
That's right. Yeah, 3-year-old girls, 9-year-old boys.
You had that in your book.
They have incest sex with them, and it is not the same as sex. So, there's all kinds of things there. You can, if you're a married man, you can have sex with a Gentile woman. And you're not violating your vows. There's all kind of... It's the most abominable book in the world. But But it is the most Jewish rabbis actually believe it is even superior to the Holy Bible, and that is a real disgrace. And I will say you don't see that in the Quran, although you do have mention of jihad in there. But that can be interpreted different ways. Other than that, the Quran actually is very favorable to Christians and Jews.
Mm-hmm. So the goal then is the destruction, really, of the three major religions.
Yes, and really, there will be a Zionist. Not even really the Zionist. It all comes down. You know, if you go to Israel today,
mm-hmm.
the Rothschilds are the biggest factor there. First of all, it was the Rothschilds who founded Tel Aviv in 1909. And then, of course, they were instrumental in 1948, the setting up of the nation. But they have planted their mark in Israel. For example, you cross over from Egypt into the Israeli city of Eilat, and you must, when you drive over in the street, the boulevard there, you must go around this circle where they have put up a huge memorial, which is an Egyptian pyramid with the all-seeing eye, the same one in our dollar bill, which is the sign of the Egyptian and the ancient mystery sun god. And that's right there when you cross over from Egypt into Israel. If you visit Hebrew University, and by the way, it was put there by Rothschilds, if you visit Hebrew University, you will find also a pyramid that's been erected in the courtyard. And then, of course, the Rothschilds gave them the money for the new Israeli Supreme Court, which has a series of pyramids, obelisks, and other Egyptian symbols. The star, that's the six-pointed star of the Jews,
mm-hmm.
is actually the star of the Antichrist. It is of Satan himself. That star, the six-pointed star, is really symbolizes numerologically 666.
Now, we were always led to believe that the pentagram was supposedly the sign of Satan, whereas the sign of Solomon was the six-sided
star of David.
And the star of David, right?
Well, you see, Solomon was a wise man. They said the wisest. But then he did not obey God.
Hmm.
And he took for his wives and concubines. You know, he had 900 of them, Leo. He was a busy man.
Right.
And it says in the Bible, in the book of Kings. And unfortunately, he disobeyed God and took these foreign wives, and they turned his eyes away from God. And so he had erected in the temple, Solomon now, he had erected in the temple all of these pagan mystery religion gods and goddesses, the Asherah poles and so forth. You can read about this in the Bible. And it says that he got so bad, so evil, that Solomon required of the high priest of the temple to give him tribute as king each year 666 talents of gold. 666. Now the Masons and the Illuminati intend to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. Also, in the occult world, they're one of their most precious, what you call it, a charm or talismans,
mm-hmm.
is the seal or star of Solomon. It's the hexagram to them, and they place curses on their enemies with it. So the very same Solomon seal that can be traced all the way back to Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and is the sign of Osiris, the sun god,
right.
of the Egyptians, actually is, unfortunately, the Jewish call. It's called the Star of David, but David never had that. Now, in the book of Acts in the Bible, though, the Apostle Paul's wrote that, and it says that when the children of Israel were, you know, freed by God,
mm-hmm.
that, and Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments up in the mountain,
right.
they apostatized and became, got into false religion again.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they erected the golden calf?
Yep.
Started to have sex orgies, all kind of stuff. But it says in there in Acts that not only the golden calf, but they worshiped the star of their God. The star of their God. Now, the Masons also believe, and the Illuminati believe it or not, in a mother goddess. And the pentagram, the five-pointed star, is her sign. And it's called the Star of Isis. And an interesting aside, by the way, is that many in the occult world now, in many high-level Masons believe that in the year 2012, a star will be seen approaching Earth, and that will be the star of Isis, whom they also call Sirius.
Yeah, that's been said in other ways too, that that star is coming close, and that's going to cause a lot of climate changes on the Earth.
Actually,
that's what they believe. I realize all this sounds so fantastic to our listeners, but the whole thing about this is it is fantastic. I think it's crazy. To me, anybody that would believe these things, they sort of have a screw loose, but unfortunately, they really do believe these things, and they're like religion to them. In my book, Mysterious Monuments, I show the Astor Estate.
Right.
John Jacob Astor.
Yep.
They were the richest family in the United States at one time, and it's either New York or New Jersey. It's in my book. It shows their family crest as the dragon.
Right.
Serpent. Here again, in the book of Revelation, it says symbolically that Satan is that old dragon, the serpent.
Right.
So they have intertwined with all of these people is the things from the occult, paganism, and also the driving desire to have money and power.
Yes, I believe that is true.
It's quite a cocktail. Quite a cocktail and mixture of things.
I think
it is a witch's brew, isn't it?
It really
yeah.
is.
But I want to emphasize it. Somehow or another, these people are sociopaths, psychopaths. They don't think like we do, and really, human life doesn't have the same. It doesn't hold the same
value.
Price, value. Thank you. For them as it does for us. So they don't see anything wrong with sending thousands into war to die.
Do you agree with the Atlantean and Lemurian concepts that prior to that there were those two civilizations that we actually are derived from?
Well, I think these are myths, Leo, and yet they have some basis. If we go back to the book of Genesis,
right.
It might be that what happened back then with the Noahic flood,
right.
that all of those things had a basis in fact.
Well, the Lemurians, the Atlanteans, were a very linear race of people. They were the ones
supposedly.
And they were the ones that had actually discovered, got involved with genetic manipulation and created us to the extent that we are now by playing with our genes, if you will. And then actually what came from that was their offspring, which were Lemurians. They were a much higher form of, they were much more intuitive people, they were much more emotional, and felt themselves quite different than their predecessors, which was the Atlanteans. And of course that became the bipolar aspect of the human condition, I guess, to some degree. Of how we have the right
why
brain,
we are the
why
way we are.
Why we have the right brain and left brain,
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I know it sounds some people like that's just totally make believe. I know you must have studied Genesis 6 in the Bible.
Sure, and also if you think of Noah's Ark, okay, it makes so much sense to think that Noah could have possibly been, one of the Anunnaki, okay, that came, or one of the Atlanteans.
Or carrying DNA rather than actual animals.
Carrying vials of DNA, for all the existing species, rather than.
Isn't it interesting that it says in Genesis there?
Yep.
That Noah, however, found grace with the Lord because he was perfect in his generation. Now, a lot of people think that means that he had no sin or something. That's not it at all. He was a righteous person, but he was not perfect. But that word generation in the King James Bible actually means racially. In other words, in his DNA.
Right.
I sort of go along with you that evidently he was not polluted by the blood of these
beings. The odd thing is that you have an Rh negative and an R positive, Rh negative blood is actually an ancestor to the blue blood. There's actually a blue blood. not meeting the deities or so, but blue blood in a sense of Martian or alien intervention or alien genetic manipulation. And there are still people today in parts of the world that have Rh negative blood, all right, which is related to the blue race. All right, and the blue race are a humanoid, but of an alien race.
Wow, is this where the old term blue blood?
Actually, it was. That's how blue blood was actually a thing, because those that for instance, the kings or the pharaohs
were called
blue blood. They had oblong heads. They were very large, 12 to 14 feet long.
Dominant.
Tall. They had the reason they wore those head masks, and they have skulls and whatnot of their remnants that show these remarkable heads that were not unlike the cone heads, but they have these huge oblong skeletons and so on, and it's a remarkable connections that have been made over time, over the last 20th century.
So as much as we know, there's always much more to find out, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be when the Son of Man returns.
Right.
So those things, a lot of those, you mentioned these giants. In Genesis 6, it says there were giants in those days.
That's right.
And afterwards.
That's right.
So you're right about the DNA carrying forth afterwards, too. So I think that's just fascinating. Maybe Goliath was one of those.
I think so. He was,
and there were scores of you had the Greeks had the Titans, if you remember, and the gods.
Well, here's the interesting thing maybe your audience could think about. I'm convinced that the Illuminati seek to bring back the glories of the Greek and Roman mythologies. This is the reason for the architecture of Washington, D.C., many other cities, built in the form of Greco-Roman temples and so forth. So I do believe they brought all this back now, and the Rothschilds and the others, they're not interested at all in trying to return to the days of, King David or the prophets of the Old Testament.
Right.
They want to return to the ancient mystery religions and to the Hercules and Zeus and all of those gods and goddesses. And, outside the Library of Congress, I pointed out, is the great fountain of Poseidon.
Right.
Well, that's
the serpent god who rose up from the sea.
We're running a little over time here, and I wanted to.
It's a great discussion.
Yeah, I want to invite you back. Very soon. I know you're in the middle of a project right now, but I thank you for taking time to talk to us. But we'd love to follow up on this and this great book of yours.
It's been a great time, and especially I'd like to be on with people who know of these things and understand them. Having read them, it's a great blessing.
Well, we appreciate
all your hard work. And if people want to get your book, where can they get it, Tex?
Sure, Conspiracy World. They can actually get it from a bookstore. It's orderable, or Amazon.com, or my website, powerofprophecy.com.
Okay, and I urge the folks at home to buy it. They'll be amazed.
Yeah, it's
all right.
And thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great new year.
You too,
Tex.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
That was Tex Mars with us from his home in Texas talking about Conspiracy World, this new book. And now we're going to our next guest.
Yeah, we got intro music. You might